Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Swallow your pride, there's nowhere to hide. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would you do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky, you don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and we're still unbreakable.
What is up, guys? Welcome to the Reborn Podcast. My name is Ashley Horner. It has been a while since I have dragged this co-host into my lair here at American Brew. Blue is back.
What's up, everybody?
The people have missed Blue. And I, if I can be honest, I too have missed Blue. I feel all of you guys. In fact, he's been around the last couple days or so, but this year he's really been home like 5 days. And we're in the month of, we're rounding the end of March.
Yeah, I'm a hard man to nail down.
He is a hard man to nail down. So I'm very, I feel very fortunate that I have you here today with me in my lair. He, Blue was back for the 25-hour row that we did together. But how have you been?
Yeah,
What's been going on?
I can't miss that.
He's been getting jacked. He got up to like over 200 pounds.
Yeah, really.
How did you do that?
Really leaned into my diet, really. And having people cook for you is like a big thing too.
Isn't that nice?
That's so nice.
He came home expecting the same thing.
Yeah.
And I put a stop to that real fast, people. Let me tell you.
Immediately like, had the chef hat on and I was the one cooking.
Oh, yeah.
had to remember how to do everything.
It was like 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know, nothing's cooking, nothing's frying off. And, you know, he's looking around. I'm like, babe, I am like off duty, like hardcore off duty. Welcome home. There's the skillets. There's nothing in the refrigerator. Good luck.
Yeah. Figure out what to cook, everybody.
Mm-hmm. But you came home, Jack. I always thought it was hard for you to, like, eat and train well on the road.
Yeah, it is. Usually like not
depending
good
depending on where you go, I guess.
Yeah, not good sleep cycles usually play like a big factor into that. And then also if we are like where we're getting our food from also plays a role in that. And then supplementation too. So too much caffeine and not enough time to
do. You always get to take your supplements with you?
I try to. It's kind of funny though, because you get these
depending on where you go, other countries.
Yeah,
stuff.
You got like boxes full of like you know, your gear, your clothes, and then like some fun stuff you do. And then I'll have like a whole box that has nothing but supplements in it.
There's probably some weird things that get taken with.
Yeah. No, I would say a lot of dudes like have like a little gamer box.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of guys play video games. It's a good pastime, you know, because we're so stimulated and we're like constantly doing physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice. It's like a way for dudes to kind of just like disconnect.
What's usually harder for you, the training or the eating?
Eating. Training's easy. Like, I shouldn't say easy.
Well, because your job is so physically demanding.
Yeah, I love the training. I also love it, though, when somebody can cook for me while I train.
That is not me when he is home. Well, I cook. I am a master. I am a master at breakfast.
Yeah.
I can whip up breakfast and like for everybody in like 5 minutes. I have everything like timed out. But I do a lot of pre-staging the night before.
Yeah. You also have upgraded. You know how to cook muffins now.
Yeah.
Which is
so
huge.
My manager at the brew, she had her baby.
Shout out to Liz.
So excited. So in her absence, I've been stepping in and helping out with a lot. And one of the things that I'm doing is I'm doing a lot of prep in the back and working the kitchen, which I don't mind. That's another reason why I'm like not so, always super excited to jump up and like cook for you.
Oh, don't start that. You just started getting.
Yeah, that's true.
You just started doing prep.
But I actually hate cooking. I used to like cooking. It's kind of a long story why I don't like cooking anymore. I'm in my meal plan right now. I'm still trying to prep for a show in August. And my meal plan, I eat like 2 muffins a day. So one of the big staples, if you come to the Brew, our muffins are really good. We have really great muffins. And so I am the muffin baker now that Liz has taken
the
time out.
Man.
I am the muffin man making the muffins in the back. And so Blue's excited about that.
Absolutely. Dude, you got to throw some protein powder in there, make some protein muffins. That sounds good.
It might change the consistency. I think I should just start making them all like protein muffins.
Just see if anybody notices the
difference. Yeah, I'll be like, everybody needs more protein. It's funny. I make jokes in the kitchen, like with the staff and the girls in the back. I'm like, because everybody loves our pancakes. We have really good French toast here at American Brew. And I'm like, come on, guys, can't we just give everybody sugar-free syrup? Are they really going to know the difference? And it's just kind of like a laughing joke, but...
You throw sugar-free syrup at my brother-in-law?
Oh, yeah. He has a maple.
He does his own maple syrup.
Maple syrup in Ohio.
There are coffee snobs, there are honey snobs, and there are syrup snobs.
Yeah.
They can tell a difference.
I believe that. Yeah. And one of the ambassadors that came into town for my 25-hour row, she came in from Canada. Or no, she's an ambassador now. She was not an ambassador. She recently just became an ambassador. Shout out to Sarah. She won one of my challenges, so she flew out here. But Canada is known for their maple syrup.
Yep.
And maple she trees. Yep. Brought me a little jar. It's in the shape of a maple leaf.
Yep.
It's really cute.
Yep.
And I have yet to open it. I feel like it's something that I want to save and like never open.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, that needs to be. It's like almost like whiskey. You like put it on the shelf.
Yeah, you don't ever open it.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's the bottle that makes it super cool.
Yeah.
I guess I get that too. The maple syrup. People would figure that out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But talking about Sarah, the 25-hour row we just had last week, and this it was a really big year. This was the fourth year doing it. Fourth year doing the 25-hour row.
Yep.
My fifth rowing event for Spikes Canine.
Yes.
And there were a lot of things that made this event different with the row. One of the things that was different is the individuals that won specific challenges from the year of 2022 and this first challenge that I did heading off 2023, their prize was they got a ticket out here to stay up for 25 hours and to row with me. I know like some people are like, oh my gosh, that would not be, I would never want that as a prize winning to be like, oh, congratulations. Now you have to do a marathon row of 25 hours.
I think it's actually pretty cool though. You know, how many times do like these people like, you know, you uh-huh. you do like you get a little money prize or you get a car or something like that's a memory that she will have forever. And I think that's super cool, you know, because you only get to go through life like with so many experiences and, you know, doing a 25-hour row is not something easy.
Yeah.
So I think it's super cool that you allow people to come do that with you. And not only that, it's for an awesome cause, too.
Yeah, for Spikes, for the dogs.
Yeah.
So leading up to the event, I have my team. I have a couple people who work for me. They too once were ambassadors. And then I also had some ambassadors travel out and be a part of the 25-hour row. And then the winners of some of my challenges got to come out. And you know, what I think like one of the coolest things about the row and these individuals who came out were, you know, they kind of like, they didn't have a set time where they signed up to row with me. They didn't, you know, this was all new to them.
Yeah.
Christina is one of my ambassadors. She works for me now. She was there last year for most of it. She ended up leaving like, I think around 3 or 4 in the morning or something.
Yeah.
So she had an idea of what to expect, but the sound of this event, like it is very intimidating sounding.
Yeah, right off the rip, it's like,
yes.
Hey, just stay up for 24 hours. Oh, on top of that, you're gonna sit on a concept two row and row,
just row all night long. And but it was really cool to see my ambassadors that they came, and you know, out of like after people started trickling out, you know, after it started getting dark and sun started setting, they started getting on the rowers. I think Michael was the first one. He's one of my ambassadors, and he rowed for an hour. He's like, you know what, I'm just gonna row for another hour. I was like, right on, like, let's keep going. And then, you know, you saw Dara Shea.
Yeah.
She was a winner of one of my challenges. She's like, you know what, I'm gonna get on too. And then, you know, there, before you know it, it was like Michael was on hour three, Dara Shea was starting hour two, and then there were other people jumping on. And yeah, by the end of the night, I think Michael total rode 11 hours, Dara Shea rode like 8 hours, Sarah rode a crazy amount.
Christina, Eddie, Raquel, everybody.
Yeah, and Raquel rode a lot too. She probably rode around 6 or 8 hours. And so I'm telling all of you guys this to like, well, first of all, we already have the date set up for next year, and I really want to encourage you, if you can, to come out and support and to be about it. But this just goes to show, like, this is one of my favorite events, because not only is it for a good cause, we're raising a lot of money for canines in need, but what I love is seeing people break through their mental barriers of, because guys, like, there is literally nothing special about me. There's nothing that, you know, maybe like I'll just run through a brick wall until
couple
you tie me down.
Couple screws loose.
Yeah, yeah. A couple screws loose for sure. But like anybody can do anything if you just put your mind to it. You know, you can do it. And we were talking about how much this event has grown. Do you remember the first year?
Yeah, yeah. It's
and the neighbor. So where American Brew, the restaurant, is actually kind of located.
Just on the outside of a neighborhood.
Yeah, so we have neighbors that live in houses, like, right across the street. So kudos to them. They have American Brew, like, right across the street to wake up and get coffee.
It's pretty awesome.
But do you know our neighbors, Joel?
Yeah,
across the street,
Joel,
from American Brew. The first, they had just moved into that house, and it was our first year doing the 25-hour row. So he actually came into the brew the other day, and he was telling this story about the first time that he walked over there. He had just moved into the house, and he said at 4 a.m. in the morning that he came around the corner, and I'm just rowing my heart out. You know, nobody's around except for you. He said, you're wrapped up in a blanket with like an entire bottle of Whistle Pig down the hatch. There was like maybe one more shot left. And we were watching, I think you were trying to get me to watch Star Wars or like
the Avengers. Yeah.
On this tiny little laptop.
Yep. Yeah.
And you were cold. And that was it.
Freezing,
it was just us. It was just us.
Yeah, it was me and
out
you
there.
Out there.
Rowing.
Occasionally you had a few people come up earlier in the night, but dude, once it hit midnight, like,
it was just
nobody.
It was just us
out there on a rower, just all night.
Yeah.
And it's
I mean,
crazy.
Even looking back, you know, you talk about just, well, he kept saying, I guess, like, what Joel kept saying, he was like, I couldn't believe that you were just out there still rowing when, like, nobody was around. It was like, he was like, nobody cared.
Yeah.
You could have stopped.
Yeah.
He was
absolutely.
Like, but you were still there rowing.
Yeah.
And I guess I was like, whenever I heard him say that, I was just kind of like, well, like, why wouldn't I, like, not be, like, what would I be doing? Like, sleep? That would be so boring.
Yeah.
Like, what would I be doing? I should just go home then, I guess, if I wanted to sleep. But, you know, the purpose behind all of it was to challenge myself to see if I could do 25 hours straight, you know. And every year, I don't know what our fundraising goal was the first year. But the last,
I think it
years,
was only two or three vests. Honestly, I remember the first couple of years. I think it was only
maybe
two or three vests,
remember,
that we were able to get for the dogs. But dude, what was the goal we hit this year?
Yeah, so this year we
incredible,
hit,
absolutely incredible.
8 vests got are going. So Spikes Canine Fund, this is the nonprofit that I do my row for every year. It's Luck of the Canine, the 25-hour row. So we were able to raise over $25,000. That was over my fundraising goal, which was super huge. Kudos, shout out to my team, my ambassador, Spikes, everybody who came and supported, everybody who rode with me, everybody who shared the story, because at the end of the day, it's not me, it's you guys who are supporting and believing in the mission that I believe in, mm-hmm. and the mission of the charity that I'm pushing for, and you know, people like Spike's Canine.
Absolutely incredible. 8 different dogs, all across the United States, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one local, and then
All of them were like kind of scattered throughout, and it's incredible because like those vests save those dogs' lives. Whether it comes to, you know, them in their line of work, whether they're up against knives, guns, anything. We've already heard multiple stories of these vests.
They save
these dogs' lives. So you guys' donations and everything are going to an incredible cause here for, you know, these animals, as you say, they'll go places that we don't even want to go. We send them in first. Like, why not give them the best protection there is out there? Mm-hmm. And I think it's also a tribute to your community as well, the Ashleets.
Yes.
Like, the fact that, this year, how many total people from your community came and actually rode? I mean, it was
a lot.
There was like 8.
Guys, I'm like obsessed, like so obsessed with my community. So when I get really attached to people, which has been, I guess, in my career of like running business, it's been kind of like a detriment a little bit to my success because I do get like super attached to people.
Yep.
I love people. And so then for my ambassadors to just come out, and a lot of them like paid their own way out here. Like we got them an Airbnb, you know, we took care of them once they got here. But, and just the fact that they wanted to be here to support me, it meant the world, like truly the world. And everybody came over to our house.
Yeah, that was cool.
We made just like the best memories and staying up all night together. It was just an incredible experience. And
something else to kind of go off of that too is I was sitting with Michael and I was talking with him.
My ambassador.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah. And you know, he's like the only guy ambassador, so I feel like he's the only one that I can really like connect with or talk to. But like the thing that we saw too is like the moment all of you actually showed up, it's kind of weird. It's kind of funny but weird. They're all the same mindset. You guys all think the same.
You and I were talking about this. Or maybe you were telling me about your conversation with Michael.
Yeah, it's incredible, like, with the community that you all have built together, the Ashley community, because you guys could, I feel like, show up somewhere and you guys would all kind of, like, be on the same wavelength. It's kind of the same as, like, me and my guys, right? Like, whoever I'm with, if whatever we're doing, it doesn't matter who I'm with.
Sure.
We're all already synced up and we already know kind of what to expect. It might, you know, there might be a little hiccup here and there, but I feel like it's kind of funny. Your guys' community is very similar.
It really is.
In the sense that it's like...
Because like whenever, and I have, this is also weird, but I'm also a little shy, or maybe it's just over the years I have developed some social anxiety. And so I always get really nervous. Plus, like, I don't know what to expect because I'm like, is this going to be like a crazy fan or is this going to be like a loving person that just really like genuinely doesn't put me on a pedestal, but is like basically
believes
with me to support me. Yeah. To be to walk alongside me.
Yeah.
I don't need my community to like praise me or to put me on a pedestal. I need my community to always support me and each other.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what's really, really important. And that's why I wanted to come up with why I have my ambassadors to just kind of help. And what I've seen is like these people who come into the community, like, I actually see like a lot of people who come in and maybe at first they're stragglers a little bit or just, but we bring them into this pace and this community of like, this is the mindset. This is the way we think, like, this is your capabilities. And what happens is like when these individuals come into our community, you start to see their confidence it starts to snowball and it
blossoms.
You know, Sarah, who won the last transformation, she's such a good example of that. You know, everybody has their own hardships, but she has overcame so much. And the person she was, and she's newer to the community, the person she was when she started the training program Bulletproof, she was not the same person when she finished. Yeah. And that's what happens when these people come into my community. They are not the same person the day that they entered in. They are different. They are different.
Well, then that in their community, you know, through Facebook, through all the social media things, like, it's so easy to connect and check in with people now too and hold people accountable for those things. And I feel like your community is really starting to blossom in that field. Yeah. You know, you guys are starting to form your voice as a community, and especially like you as the, you know, you call yourself a leader or whatever, but yeah, I'm starting to see it a lot more, you know, and especially with your ambassadors as they slowly start to, you know, become that voice as part of your community too. So it's really,
I hope I really want more people to come out next year.
Dude,
and huge shout out to Concept 2 for Greg, especially up at Concept 2. I know those guys really well, and they have always been a huge supporter of the row.
Yeah,
and
every year.
I think next year, like, I want to see about like bringing, I don't know, either Greg needs to come down.
Yeah, Greg, you gotta get out here, man.
Yeah, and
he's like a big dude too. Yeah.
He's good though. You talk about perfect rowing form. I mean, that man is legit.
I mean, he's like,
I would actually not want to row next to him. He'd be like, straighten your back.
Yeah.
You're pulling too soon. You're slouching.
Yeah. Well, that and like just having more of your community, because we had a, who else donated? Little Creek donated a couple rowers.
Little Creek.
And then some individual donated the tent as well. We had a massive tent.
Who was that?
I can't remember their names.
I can't remember their names.
You know who you are.
Thank you for donating that tent.
Dude, it never fails.
Yeah.
At like 3 a.m.
So I think we need to get Cold Plunge out here to do ice baths in between.
Ooh.
Or have like an ice bath out here.
Ooh,
in between rows.
That'd be intense.
That would be really intense.
I don't know.
Can you imagine rowing and then everybody has to get in the ice bath for 1 minute, get out, dry off, get back on the rower?
That would be the hardest thing. It's not that the cold would like ruin you guys. It'd be, you know, water. Like you guys being like too moist, wet and rowing.
That is true. You probably don't want to get wet.
Yeah, because that's, we try and like,
yeah, you know, keep me dry.
During prolonged events like this, the more we can keep you dry, the less you'll get chafing and, you know, whatever, rub spots and all these other things. So, but yeah, if you could, like, ice in between each one, it would probably...
Recovery.
Your recovery
after
and your...
the whole thing.
Yeah, your whole, like, the event, during the event, you probably would perform much better. Because it gets tiring. There's a lot of inflammation that builds up, you know, on 25 hours on a rower.
Yeah. Blue got home, I think, the day before my row. And, you got home like a day or two before my row.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem, because we had ambassadors flying into town like a couple days before. It was pretty crazy.
Pretty fast.
But I was actually, my training leading up to this row has been a lot different. Every other year I've trained like on a functional fitness level, which I think that for the majority of the population, that is the type of training that I recommend for everybody, is functional type fitness. For me right now though, my season that I am in right now, I am focusing solely on bodybuilding. So my cardiovascular endurance.
You haven't ran in like...
It's a long time.
When was the last time you went for a run? It's been months, like, like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's when she says she hasn't done any cardiovascular training, that's what she's talking about. Yeah. She hasn't.
Well, because my metabolism's so crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to eat right now.
She's trying to put on size.
I'm trying to put on size, and I'm trying to do least amount of cardio. Cardio only happens in the bedroom.
Yes.
The occasional kitchen table. Kidding.
In the backseat of the car.
Moving on. So, yes, all of the above. But, my cardio is just limited.
It doesn't happen. So coming up for this row,
I was really nervous.
You were, I've most of the rows you take head on. This one you were a little
bit
more antsy about it.
Plus, I still have this weird like back thing that just flares up randomly.
Yeah, you're just old.
Stop it! You are not allowed to say that. That's what I'm thinking. This injury has to be like the curse. I'm 1 year closer to 40 Yep. And this is what happens.
Yeah. I'm just looking at a picture up here of Gigi, though. I don't think she's ever had any back problems.
No, Gigi did not come to the row this year. Gigi, aka my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom always comes every single year, and she was not able to come this year. She favored my brother over me this year and went out to Alaska. But my brother does have five kids, so she was probably needed. A lot more up in Alaska than
It was fun. Otto got to just camp out in the truck camper.
Yeah, we opened up some of the overlanding stuff. Blue has a big tent on the back of his truck, so we just opened that up and let the kids, you know, sleep in that. But leading up, I was definitely nervous about a lot of things, and I mean, to the fact that, like, I mean, I don't know if we want to talk about the morning of.
Yeah. The morning of was chaos. From my standpoint anyways. I mean, got to the point of uncertainty so much with the back and the training and what we were about to do and whether it was going to go against.
No, I wasn't thinking. I mean, I wasn't. No. Here's the thing is like, okay, I was really nervous. I was very upset the morning of the row. So much so that we were like a mile out from American Brew and the start time was like
10 minutes
or less than that.
Yeah.
It was less than that.
Yeah.
And I told him to stop the truck on the side of the road. I said, stop the truck. I think we were still in our neighborhood. I said, stop the truck. And he was just like, you got to go, Ashley. And I was like, stop the truck. I mean, I don't know if I really want to talk about all this, but,
What was it that was like telling you to stop?
Well,
because I never really got to hear this part of it.
Yeah, I know we never talked about it. So, okay. So March 17th, that's St. Patty's Day. We started on St. Patty's Day this year. This year was also on St. Patty's Day. It's Cash's birthday. So I honestly don't know, like, what happened the morning of the row. I just know that I was feeling a lot of guilt because I was leaving the morning of Cash's birthday to go do something that was selfishly for me. Like, I know that I was doing something for somebody else to raise money. But it like hit me the night before the morning of that I am leaving my son, whom I already have all of this guilt that I carry around with me, like a bag of skeletons for how much I've just worked and poured into my career. And so I had a really big breakdown the morning of the row. And not only that, it was a couple things that like led to my breakdown. It was me having the mom guilt and leaving Cash on his birthday. I didn't have anything for him. You know, I had my ambassadors coming into town and I had to, I love people. Like I wanted to get things prepared for the ambassadors. I wanted to make sure everything was set up for them.
You're also a perfectionist.
Yes, I'm a perfectionist to a fault in a sense that I imagine how things should go in my mind. I'm a perfectionist in my mind. I have like, I dream up these experiences of what I think something's going to be like, and that's what I expect. And if anything falls short and it's not to my expectations, which I know a lot of this sounds negative, but this is just the truth and the facts, then I like freak out, or it's like, you know, it's something in my head. So I have all these expectations in my mind, and when things start not lining up the way that I have imagined them to be, I start almost in a sense like spiraling downhill. And, like, honestly, like this year has been extremely, extremely tough. I don't know. So Blue, as you, like as I mentioned earlier, Blue has been gone a lot, and I know that many of you guys think that I am invincible and that I am a superhuman, but I am far, far, far from that. And you know, I talk about like I've been talking a lot about mental health. That's been something that I've really been into a lot recently. And when about a week before Blue came home, things got like pretty bad with for me and my mental health. And so I contacted my doctor and I basically sent out like an SOS. I was like, I need help or I need to go to the hospital like right now. And so I got on, as much as like I hate saying this, I got on an antidepressant and I was on it, and it's what I needed 100%. It had been a topic that had been like brought up, and I've been like, no, like I don't like taking medicine. I don't like taking drugs and prescriptions. And I kind of was like, it's either one or the other. And so I got on an antidepressant, and within like a couple days, I just like hated who I was. I was just, it wasn't me. And so like the part of just everything, you know, when Blue was home, he hadn't been home for a while. And it was just like, I didn't even really care that he was home. And the morning of the row, I threw my antidepressants like in the trash, and I was like, I'm not doing this. I was like, I know that like I'm stronger than like any pill that I can take. And and honestly, since then, and like leading up to that, like I really started just trying to shift my mindset and like burying myself in God's word, and that's really been the only thing that's really helped me. But I think it was a combination of just everything leading up to the row, and like a little bit of what I was talking about. Like I have developed some social anxiety. Sure, I love people. It's not that like I don't want to see people or I don't want to talk to anybody, because I love people. Like I love being here with my team at the Brew, and it's kind of like the unknown. You know, there are crazies out there. I just don't ever know what I'm going to expect or like, you know, what I'm going to encounter. And so it got to the point in the car. He finally got me to the parking lot at the row, and it was literally, we had one minute, and I didn't have, like, I had been, I wasn't like crying, guys. I was like bawling my eyes out. Like I needed to go to bed and sleep probably for like 48 hours. I did not need to go out anywhere in public at that time. And, he, you know, has these big, like gaiters or like wraparound glasses. And he was like, it was like 1 minute till he took his glasses off and he handed them to me. He was like, you know what to do, Ashley. And I got out of the truck. I walked across the parking lot and, you know, it was like, I turned the corner and there was Emily and Marie and,
Jimmy.
And then Jimmy sitting at the end. And I just, you know, I honestly just gave it all to God.
Yeah. It was interesting to see that too, because you obviously seen that the whole event unfold in the truck and everything at the house, but then like the moment that came, it was almost a little eerie how like the light, like the switch was flipped at that point.
I had to though.
Yeah, you did. And again, I think a lot of the glory goes to God on this one. Actually all of them, but this one in particular, because there was a lot of demons and things that you were fighting that a lot of people just don't see.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was, that was actually, this is the first time that Blue and I have even talked about what happened.
Yeah.
Because he, I had my row. He left again on Sunday, like right after my row. I didn't even have a massager here to like rub my back or my butt.
Or your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Pancake butt.
Yeah. So, and then the row was awesome. I crushed it. I walked away with really honestly like no injuries.
That's the
wear and tear part.
That's the part like I'm talking about, like God just kind of took over.
Yeah.
You know, like you haven't done anything cardiovascular related, and I think there was only at one point, like I looked at your rower and you were under like, I think you were under 5,000 meters. Mm-hmm. The last year row, I know there was a point in time when we were only hitting 2,000 or 3,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So even then, like you were
Very consistent on my row.
Yeah.
I was very, very consistent. Like I tried to keep like the same pace.
Yeah.
And
but then the fact that afterwards, like no problems. We had a back issue we were worried about. We were concerned about. Uh-huh. We had the fact that you hadn't done any type of cardio.
I was really, really worried about rhabdo.
Yeah, we were worried about rhabdo. Yeah. Just maintaining the heart rate, keep it super low during the entirety of the whole event. Uh-huh. And you came away unscathed completely.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I still incredible. Have inflammation though from my row. I think I still have inflammation, or maybe
probably
I did consume a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is like the next day, or I think we were at church, or I was at the brew. Someone was like, "Yeah, I saw you rowing." And they're like, "Was that Coke can next to you yours?" And I was like, yeah, like I think like I probably had like 2 or 3 Coca-Colas when I was rowing.
I mean,
because of that, at least 2.
Yeah.
Because of the it's cold, first of all, so it's very refreshing. The bubblies are really refreshing. You get that really fast just sugar.
Yeah.
Kick, and it's something, it has to be Coca-Cola.
Well, people,
I don't even like Coke.
Yeah. People get in this mindset
that caffeine.
Yeah, these people get in this mindset that you can't have sugar. Everything needs to be sugar free, and you can't have carbs. No, y'all gotta only have protein. It's like, yo, you need those.
I was inhaling
those
food.
Macros and those micros, mm-hmm. as far as it comes to like sugar, mm-hmm. and like carbs for events like this throughout the entire duration. You're burning so many calories, and even just to stay awake,
yeah.
and alert, like.
Well, you're also moving the whole time.
Yeah,
I never felt like I was gonna fall asleep. It was when we would stop.
Yeah, in between.
Yeah, usually the last couple hours, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take 5 minutes to, like, lay here.
Yeah. Yeah. And in case anybody doesn't know, it's we've done a couple. I think we did one other podcast last year on this thing. But 25 hours, we row for about 50, 55 minutes. And then there's a 5 to 10 minute break at the top of each hour, you know, to go to the bathroom, to get food, and just to stretch really quick. And then it's like, it's back on. It's like clockwork. And then we read the citation of what dog we're doing the next hour or two for the dedication.
To honor the dog.
Yep. To honor the dogs that have passed away in previous years. And then we start it off and you keep going. So mm-hmm. I think last year we hit 180,000 meters. Mm-hmm. I would venture to say we were probably close to 160, 180,000, which is right around 100 miles.
Yeah.
In 25 hours.
I'll
so.
Take that.
Yeah, I'll absolutely. Take
that. Also, too, like on these events, one of the reasons why, like, I'm not just going out and like rowing for 25 hours, there's a purpose and a cause behind it. And I think that, like, I know every event like this that I have done, whether it's like running, swimming, whatever, there is a reason and a purpose behind it. And I think that, like, you know, people who are like, oh, I could never do that. Guaranteed, if you're running, if you're racing for a cause that you really believed in, a cause that hits close to home, that maybe affected like a child, that affected a family member in your life, you'll pull out so much strength and heart,
yeah.
and you will finish it. It might not be pretty, and yeah, yep. you might be crawling across the finish line, but the heart that it takes, because of that, you will make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So next year's, I'll look up the date for you guys.
It's Saturday, Sunday, right?
It is Saturday to Sunday, and it's starting on St. Patrick's Day next year is actually on Sunday. So
16th,
17th? Yes, 16th, 17th. Here's 2024. It is March 16th to the 17th. Our after party is going to be the 17th. And we even had an equestrian out. We had the equestrian.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they call an equestrian.
Police.
Police horse?
Just
equestrian horse?
Oh, no. Or no, it's a patrol horse. Patrol horse?
On hooves.
I don't know. It was really cool, though.
Yeah, so we had a horse that came out, and then
that was super rad.
That was during the first day, and the second day we always start in the morning, so we're ending the following morning, like typically around 8 a.m. Or 9 a.m. and then we have a big after party. So I want to invite all of you guys that's listening, save the date for 2024 of March to come out. It's the 23rd and the 24th. And we'll have a great time. It's at American Brew.
Wait, 23rd, 24th?
Sorry, I don't know why I said that. 16th and the 17th.
Goodness, woman.
Yeah, I was just looking at the wrong date. Mm-hmm. So 16th to the 17th of March, 2024. Come on out.
Mark
save
it down.
The date.
Come on
out. Yeah, drive. Fly. You can swim because we're close to the water, or you could run here.
Oh, if you plan on staying here, mm-hmm. highly recommend you bring a ground pad. Something to sleep on if you plan
on staying the night here.
Obviously, we have the brew that we kind of crash in, but it's like the floor is not very comfortable.
Well, the ground pad, I use that for stretching.
Well, no. So for other people who are like coming and trying to be a part of the event that want to stay with you.
No. Do not bring a ground pad because nobody is sleeping. I thought you were talking about a ground pad for stretching. Ain't nobody sleeping.
Well, not everybody can stay up like you.
Well, then
babe.
They need to go home. No, okay. I might show a little grace there. But come on out next year. And that's all that I got. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we missed. My food, no. I ate a lot of Uncrustables. I had ice cream Snicker bars. I had Coca-Colas.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any.
I ate some brew food.
We had pizza.
We do pizza every time. Oh, and we had a big tent. I know that we mentioned that. Shout out to the people who sponsored the tent. And it was an individual. That's why I can't remember the name of the tent company. But we watched movies. We'll throw on movies at night.
Yeah, usually.
What did we watch this year? What movies were on?
I can't even. Oh,
it was Rocky.
Point Break.
Point Break, because I had never seen Point Break, and everybody gave me such a hard time.
Yep.
The night before, we had a big pregame party at our house the night before the row. Everybody was like, you haven't seen Point Break?
Utah.
Because one of the officers that we had over, he has a new dog, and his dog name is Utah.
Utah.
And I'm like, why did you name your dog Canine Utah? And which is actually a pretty cool name. And he was like, oh, from Point Break. I'm like, what's Point Break? And they're like, you don't know what Point Break is. I'm like, guys, I work a lot. We watch a lot of cartoons at our house. So
yeah.
Anyways, hopefully we'll see you guys next year in person. Otherwise, we will catch you next week on The Reborn Show. Thank you for hanging out and listening. We'll catch you next time.
Later.
Bye. There's nowhere to hide. What would you decide when it's on the line? Just do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky if you don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and we still unbreakable.